grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You often hear me say that nobody makes a decision to accept the gospel and ask Jesus into their lives. Well, it's biblical. You'll see that twice in today's gospel, Jesus says that he sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent, not requested. Unless salvation is delivered to you without you even asking for it, spiritually you're no better off than those bones that Ezekiel saw. They had no life in them until an outside force acted on them. And it's the same thing with your spiritual life. We have no Christianity, no spirituality, unless God himself acts upon us. Now, Ezekiel's vision may seem more suitable for Easter Sunday than Pentecost, because it concerns a mass resurrection. But it's being read on Pentecost. Why? Easter deals with your bodily resurrection. Pentecost deals with your spiritual resurrection. You see, when the Holy Spirit came to you, of course you were physically alive, but you were raised from spiritual death to a new life in Christ. Your baptism was your spiritual resurrection. Now, of course, when Jesus returns, your body will be raised. A great truth of the Bible is that you can always put your trust in the God who raises the dead, the physically dead and the spiritually dead. So that's why Ezekiel is often read on Pentecost Sunday. How were these bones raised to life? Well, through the prophet Ezekiel. He was told to speak, but not just any words, not some poetic incantation. God told him exactly what to speak, and Ezekiel spoke them. And then the bones received everything necessary for life except the breath of life itself. Then Ezekiel was told to speak again God's words, to breathe life into those bodies, and that's what happened. Now, interestingly, the word breathe, the word spirit actually does mean breath in the Bible. In the ancient languages, spirit means breath, wind. How was Adam created? God breathed into the dust of the earth, and Adam became a living soul. And that's what's happening in Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the dry bones. God's word gave life, breathed life into those dead bones. God said that this resurrection was a preview of what was to come. He said the bones were the house of Israel. Now, this doesn't mean a patch of real estate in the Middle East. We are all aware of the terrible turmoil that's been going on in the Middle East in these last few weeks, and we pray for peace. Above all, pray for peace. But this is not talking about a nation. Israel is everyone throughout the entire world that needs to repent. And make no mistake, we all need to repent. God's people, the nation of Israel in ancient times, well, they sinned against God repeatedly. Sin was so much a part of them that with the exception of a very small remnant of people left in ancient Israel, they were really no longer the elect of God. Those dry bones in life were once a great nation. Now they were dead. Those bones once took pride in the kings of Israel. But you know, after David, the second king of Israel, they were mostly ruled over by idol worshipers. In life, those bones were proud of the wise King Solomon, the son of King David. But Solomon started off so well, asking God only for wisdom, and he got it. And Solomon got off to such a good start But he later would squander his wisdom, and he brought idols back into the land of Israel. Idol worship was back under King Solomon. For his sin, God divided Israel in two. Remember how Solomon was brought a baby, determined who the mother is, and Solomon said, cut the baby in two. And the real mother said, don't. And the phony mother said, yeah, go ahead, do it. Solomon knew. Well, now Israel would be cut in two. Actually, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And God warned both of those nations that they would be destroyed in due time, and they were. The northern part of Israel, Israel itself, never had a single faithful king. Every single one of Israel's kings were idol worshipers and pagans. Every single one of them. Judah to the south had all kings that were from the line of David, but only two of them were completely faithful, Hezekiah and Josiah. So in life, those bones were proud of their kings. And in life, those bones boasted about having God's law, except that they never honored it, and they never used God's law for its intended purpose. The scriptures teach that from the law comes the knowledge of sin, not the forgiveness of sin, just the knowledge of sin. Israel was too proud to repent and seek God's mercy, which is why God gave the law, so that you could see that you break the law and appeal to God's great mercy. They never did. Now, good King Josiah did try to bring about a religious revival. He had the law of God read to the entire nation, but it was too late. Their repentance was not from the heart, and it was very short-lived. In life, those bones would have been proud of the temple that Solomon built. But what good did the temple do? Solomon built it to great fanfare, but then everyone in Israel quickly forgot about it. Solomon loaded the temple with gold and silver, only to have subsequent kings strip it of its treasures whenever they needed money. The temple became a savings and loan, the original eBay, Craigslist. You need cash? Go into the temple and sell stuff. And that's what kings did. While they lived, those bones were proud of all of the great prophets that came into Israel. But what good did they do? The people persecuted, ignored, and even killed the prophets who called upon them to repent. Every attempt at a religious revival in the ancient Holy Land failed to bring about lasting repentance. What about us today? Does this passage mean anything to us? It does. Do we repent of our sin? Our neglect of worship, our greed, our lack of love to God and our neighbor? Do we repent of a ho-hum attitude toward supporting Jesus Christ and the church? Well, the history of ancient Israel should always serve as a wake-up call to Christians today. We need to repent of our sin ere it's too late. But remember, God is in the resurrection business. The resurrection business. But to be raised, you first have to die. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. They placed their trust in the things that could not save them. Are people doing that today? Trusting in things that cannot save them? Admiring things that cannot save them? Of course they are. Well, nations and kings and things come and go. Impressive architecture is no substitute for God's living word. Revivals that are not rooted in God's word are doomed to fail. Sinners can only place their hope in the merciful God who raises the dead. And as promised, God did raise his people from the dead many times over. Quite a few times the nation of Israel was destroyed, scattered to the four winds. God brought them back. Why? In order so that his word could be kept and that the Savior, Jesus Christ, could be born of Israel. No king from David's bloodline would ever again, after Solomon, sit on an earthly throne. The temple would be rebuilt, but never to its former splendor. Many things would change for Israel, but the one thing that never seemed to change was their continuing contempt for God's word, and finally, they rejected their Savior. Therefore, Israel, according to the flesh, was finally swept away in 70 AD. And so God raised up a new and a different Israel, the Israel that God always intended, the Christian church. Whenever we read about Israel in the scriptures being permanent, it couldn't have been a physical nation because it was never permanent. It came and went and came and went and came and went. Since 1948, there's been an Israel in the Middle East, but that's not the church. The Israel that God is talking about is the Christian church. In Jesus, Israel has its true king, who was indeed descended from the bloodline of David. Jesus kept God's law perfectly and fulfilled all of its demands. In Jesus, you have the true temple. Not a temple of stone, but God in human flesh. God becoming our brother. The Holy Spirit making you your body, his temple, when you're baptized. Jesus offered himself to be the Lamb of God, shedding his blood for your sins so that they can be forgiven. All that ancient Israel never could be, Jesus was and still is. And on the day of Pentecost, a divine, a real, and a lasting revival came. So Ezekiel's vision is very important for us to consider on Pentecost. Dead, dry, scattered bones are without life or hope. They were lying on the dust of the earth from whence they were made, surrounded by the same air they once breathed. But it took the divine action of God to take these two elements, the earth and the breath, and give them life again. And that's what God has done for you. He has sent his Holy Spirit to you. He breathed eternal life and unfailing hope into you. He has brought you into the true, the lasting, the permanent Israel, the Christian church. This is where forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. In Christ, Pentecost has come to you already. And so will Easter. Why? Because you can always trust the God who raises the dead. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory.